Broadcasting live from the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, the Training 2015 Conference and Expo.
And we are back for another exciting and informative edition of Learning Insights, coming to you from the show floor of Training 2015 Conference and Expo. Stone Payton here, your host, and in this segment, we're going to get a chance to visit with senior trainer, course developer, OD specialist, boy, that's a lot of titles, with SSC Computer. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Miss Mary K. LaBrie. How you doing?
Good, good, but I have one little correction for you. It's right. SCC.
SCC.
SCC, soft computer.
All right, that's all right. Heads will roll in
heads
the
will roll.
In the calendaring.
Yes.
not a problem. All right, so competency models. Tell us a little bit about your experience with competency models, because you've been doing a lot with these things lately, haven't you?
Yes, since 2008, we've been doing a lot with competency models. We are a laboratory information system organization, and we have consulting partners in Poland and Ukraine, and we needed a way to sort of streamline the competencies and the development process. So in 2008, we decided to move to competency-based performance evaluations instead of trying to give people numbers, and it's worked out very well for us.
So how do you decide what competencies are important? Do you go to your existing rank and file and figure out what they're doing and what they're doing well? Where do you start?
Well, I would suggest the best place to start, as I said, we're a laboratory information system company, so we have a technical side of the house and a customer service side of the house. I would suggest first identifying your key performers, and you're going to do key event interviews with those performers to determine what their job is, what were some of the successful events that they had on the job, that they experienced on the job, and also how well they performed through those events. What did they do well? What did they think that they could improve upon? But you just don't want to speak to your top performers, because sometimes the top people, they forget how good they really are and what it takes to be successful.
They don't even know how and why. They just know that they've got it. They're in the groove.
That's right. You want to talk to some of your B-plus performers as well. Of course, you're not going to tell them you're a B-plus.
You know? Right. You're one of our best, and we just had to sit down and visit with you. But that brings up another point. It's probably not just a matter of answer these five questions. You have to have some skill, some methodology, some rigor, some discipline in how you draw this information out of both groups, I would think, yeah?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And we use a structured key event interview form, and we go through...
It's the LaBrie method.
Actually, it's another company's method.
Okay, fair enough.
But we use a structured key event interview form. And we also interview, I would also suggest interviewing some of your bottom performers as well. And I know people say, wow, well, competencies are supposed to be success factors. Why would you want to speak to somebody who's not performing well? Well, you want to find out why. You want to find out what obstacles there are in place. Because sometimes, and I tell the managers this, sometimes the employee isn't performing because of you. Maybe something you're not doing right, maybe some obstacle you're not removing from their path. And so you need to find out if there are any obstacles. So then you take all of that data and you compile it. The second step I would strongly suggest is forming a resource panel of willing and able managers who will sit down with you and look at the different competencies. We use a generic competency dictionary, and that makes it easier. You have the definition of the competency. You have the bullet points, which are the behavioral indicators.
Well, that is key, because just the common nomenclature, for everybody to be operating out of the same lexicon, there's going to be an awful lot of confusion if we're not calling the same thing in these conversations.
That's right. And that's one of the reasons why, that's the case for competency models right there.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I'm, let's say you're the employee, and I'm telling you, well, you're not a team player. What does that really mean?
Right.
You know, you may go fix something that I don't want you to fix. You're not organized. Okay, so you go clean your desk? I mean, seriously. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, okay, I fixed the problem. I'm doing what my manager told me to do. But you have to have those common definitions. And when you have them in writing, it helps to take some of the guesswork away. In addition, you have that tool to write effective selection questions. especially for the stuff that you can't train for. Customer orientation is a good example. You know, if you need somebody in customer service who's customer oriented, giving them a phone skills class is not going to do it.
Right.
You know, you have to have those key behaviors in place. And the same thing for, you know, when you're reviewing someone, performance reviews, it helps to take away the guesswork of what does my manager mean, because the manager has a common definition, they have a behavioral indicator, and then they can back it up with an actual real life example of what the employee did or what the employee failed to do.
So this focus on competency modeling, is this a relatively recent development for you personally and for the organization, or has this been brewing for some time now?
Well, before 2008, we used to evaluate people on the number system.
Right.
You know, we gave everybody a number, and what was happening, we found, is that employees were saying, well, gee, I was this number last year, and now I only got this rating, but we raised the bar.
Right.
But that's hard for somebody to understand.
Right.
But when you give them actual behaviors, and this is how, this is what it will take for you to be successful. This is what you did, which was great. This is what you didn't do, which could be improved upon. That's just so much more meaningful to an employee. So about 2008, that's where we sort of changed the scope of how we review people.
All right. So when you do this competency modeling and there's some sort of evaluation process coupled with it, and you identify, I mean, it's never ideal. There's always going to be
sure.
gaps. So now this impacts both the internal consulting on, I don't know, organizational development items, as well as just blocking, tackling training type stuff, right?
Absolutely. We use it to evaluate training and development plans.
Okay.
After we create a competency model or revise a competency model for a team, we always go back and review the training plan to make sure the two mesh. Because there are quite a few competencies that can be trained, and those that can't, you need to coach to. And so we try to lay out a strong coaching plan for the managers, as well as an effective training plan to go along with it. So everything is sort of married together.
Well, the execs must really embrace this idea. It seems like that's something that the C-suite would resonate with, this kind of language and this type of process, more so than maybe some others. Has that been your experience?
You know, it's kind of 50-50. It
oh, really?
Depends on the personality type of the manager.
Okay.
I find that we have some managers who are team leaders who strongly embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people we have to work on a little bit more to use it. And you know who you are if you're going to listen to this on podcast. You know who you are. But no, our HR manager, the HR manager and I, we do reviews every year on, and we always say, you know, pull out your competency model. And some people say, I'm using it. Others we get a blank stare from. Others then I get calls after our management training and they say, Mary Kay, I really need to update this. It's not working for my team. And that's one of the secrets that I found. You know, when we first started this, we kind of had a one-size-fits-all approach.
Right.
And there are some core competencies that overlap in an organization because you want that sort of cohesive culture.
Sure.
But I'm starting to find out these last few years that you have to make the model look like the department. You really have to make the, you know, some for instance, our client services department needed levels for technical expertise for the different levels of technical support specialists. Our implementation department actually needed a broader model because these folks are face-to-face with clients and they have to deal with issues on site, so they need even a different skill set. So we're learning and we're evolving and we're growing with this, and now we're finding it's just more important not only to have a model, but to have a model that works for that manager. And when there's a changing of the guard, which there often is,
You got to be ready
and go back in and shift it for that manager, because the key is you want them to use it. You can spend a lot of time on these things, and if people don't use it, it's you know, not worth it.
No, it's an excellent point, because I can envision myself stepping into a management role, and I may just have a little different take, a little different, I may see things through a little different prism, and if you just tweak what you've got a little bit to suit my language pattern, my worldview, just a touch, I'm going to be quicker to embrace it, and
right.
I'm going to you know, express, model, and reward all of those competencies and want to be a piece of it. Now, you're too humble to mention anything about it, so I will. You guys are Hall of Famers.
We are.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, we started the Top 125 process many moons ago. I think we were, I don't remember the year they first did it, but I'm pretty sure we were in one of the first. And we scored pretty low those first few years. And we worked our way up. As we learned, as we came to these conferences, these conferences have been a big help for not only me, but other employees.
Oh, yeah? Oh, well, that's
good. Come to these conferences, right, because you take back such effective ideas,
right,
that you can implement. And we've learned, we've grown throughout the years, and then we just started hitting in the top 10. And it was amazing, and we were all very excited about it. So now we're in the Hall of Fame.
That's fantastic. Well, congratulations
on
that.
Well, thank
you.
Thank you.
Hey, before we wrap, I'd like to, let's leave your peers, if we could, as if you had any peers. Let's leave other folks in your arena with some ideas, lessons learned, tips that you might share with them. Because maybe they're not quite as far along as you guys are with your competency modeling. Some do, some don't, some tips, that kind of thing.
Sure. One of the things I would strongly suggest is you get someone certified in competency models. There's a lot of companies out there will help you develop competency models. If it's not cost effective to do that, you might want to bring in an outside consultant to do that. I was certified in a certain methodology, and I ran with that methodology. I went back and took a second class in competency models, modeling for technical competencies, and I really think having that training or foundation helped me to be more comfortable. It's not something you just want to read a book and start trying to implement. The next thing I think you really need to do is start getting executive buy-in, but I like to start with the managers who will find the most value in it. And in our organization, that was with our client services department, because they go through a rigorous audit every year for customer service standards, and they really wanted to make sure that they were doing everything right and the best that they could be. So if you start with managers who have that positive attitude, and you, other people start seeing how well they're doing, it starts to catch on in an organization.
Wow, you have some real sales skill, don't you?
Yeah, I was once
did
told.
Did you carry
I
the bag at some point?
Yeah. Can you tell?
Very insightful. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
I grew up in a very sales-oriented family, so
but no, that's good
get
thinking.
The shovel out, you know. That's what my colleagues will say anyway.
All right, so executive buying early, early and often.
Early and often.
And with the right people.
With
the
right
people. Which biggest bang for the buck. The biggest impact. Get certified.
Yes. And also, I would strongly recommend using the tools that I've already talked about. You know, have some kind of a structured key event interview process, analyze the data, see what's making people successful, and then run it by your managers in those resource panels, because sometimes they're very surprised. What a manager thinks is important, sometimes they say, really? That's what they're really doing when they're out there on site? I didn't know that. Because, I mean, there are managers who travel with employees, but there are some that, you know, things change so rapidly. And now we're in a day and age where you may be supervising people that you don't even know how to do their job.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's happening.
Right.
And so it's so important for you to really get a grip on what does this person have to do every day and what's going to make them successful.
Good stuff. True Hall of Fame caliber interview.
You.
Thank you so much, Mary Kay.
Thank you.
So you hang out at LinkedIn, Twitter, somewhere where a colleague might reach out?
I am on LinkedIn, and I'm also at MKWrites2 at Twitter.
Okay.
So you can reach me there as well.
Fantastic. And Labrie, did we get that right?
Labrie, like the cheese.
Labrie, L-A-B-R-I-E?
Labrie.
Okay. But that's how they would spell it. They would find that out on LinkedIn if they were
looking
for you. All right. And it was SCC.
SCC.
Computer. Well, thank you so much for coming and visiting with us this morning.
Well, thank you. It was fun.
All right. We will be back in a few for the show floor of Training 2015 Conference and Expo.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.